Hello, church family. This is Wednesday, May the 13th, and our midweek connection time in the Word. And hopefully you get your Bibles out and we'll look at some scriptures in just a few moments. I'm going to try to finish up this evening the series on four statements that Jesus makes in times of trial, tribulation, suffering, hardship, and difficulty. I hope it's been helpful to you to put these thoughts in your mind, to review scriptures, to bring them back into your thoughts as we study these matters together. I gave you four statements that Jesus makes, and those have formed the outline of the series. Jesus says to me in times of trial, hardship, suffering, adversity, he says, I want you to look at me. And I think it's where our focus is, where our attention is. It links up with a recent morning message, Sunday morning message on Peter, basically walking on the water and keeping his eyes on Jesus. I think Jesus says, I want you to look at me. Secondly, he says to me, I want you to flee to me. That's an action. That's an activity of my will where I go about moving, turning, going in his direction towards him. He is my refuge, my strength. I need to flee to that refuge. Third statement he makes is, I want you to trust in me. And I think we live in an era, especially in our culture, American culture, in our present times. We live in an era of mistrust. And I think what we need to hear Jesus say, I want you to trust me. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. I think that needs to be our the direction of our life, that we're going to trust in the Lord with all our heart. And then this evening, what I want to share with you is the fourth one, and that is, I want you to learn from me. So if you look on the screen, let me kind of develop this idea of learning from Christ. I'm going to take two approaches to this. For your thoughts and for your spiritual growth, I want you to look at it in two different ways. The first one is this: I want you to learn how I, meaning Jesus, handle trials. It's related to the idea of Christ-likeness. I'll establish that first. I want you to learn from me how I handle trials. And the second approach to this, or a way to approach this, I want you to learn what I'm trying to teach you. I'll develop both of those here this evening. If you want to take your Bibles, and I'll just have you move towards Romans chapter 13 and verse 14. To have your Bibles open, to these will be on the screen, but you'll put your eyes on it. I think it's will help you, as I've been saying, since I've been putting these on the screen. It's just I encourage you to be familiar with your own Bible. I think that's of great advantage in your Christian life. And here's what we find, and you see it on the screen, is that adversity, hardships, and suffering are tools in the hand of God to change us and shape us into the image of Christ, to make me Christ-like. So Jesus says to me, I want you to learn from me. And Galatians 4, verse 14, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. That's the end of all of our Christian lives, is that Christ be formed in us. That is the purpose. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 talks about I'm predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. That is my destiny. That's the plan. That's and it's that conformity to Christ, which really is Christ-likeness. Then Romans chapter 13 and verse 14, there's a phrase here that I want you to consider when we're talking about Christ-likeness, learning from Christ how to be like him. In Romans 13, the challenge goes out to us, really the imperative goes out to us, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I put him on. And you say, well, how do I put on Christ? Well, I think I follow him. I mimic his behavior. I do the things that he wants me to do. Now, in times past, and teaching throughout, you know, the years, I've given you a lot of thoughts on Christ-likeness. Let me share with you this summary, most recently taught in our adult Sunday school on the life of Christ. And one of the things we see about the life of Christ, one of the things, that the reason I want to know about the life of Christ is so that I can become Christ-likeness. So on your screen, notice these things. I need to learn Christ to become like Christ. If I would use that oft-used slogan, what would Jesus do? If I want that, if I'm saying I am going to do what Jesus is going to do, I need to know what Jesus did. So the challenge really is to be constantly living in the Gospels, learning what Christ did, learning about him, meditating on who he is, so that I can become Christ-like. But on your screen, you'll see number one, when I talk about Christ-likeness, I am programming my mind to think like he does. All right, I'm programming my thoughts to be like he thought. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, I bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And surrounding that in Philippians chapter 2 is what that mind was. So I have to think like Christ. That's the challenge, the Christ-likeness. He says, I want you to learn that. I want you to learn from me how to think. Secondly, you see on your screen, we condition our heart to feel like he felt. Jesus Christ was not a robot. I mean, he was not unfeeling. I think it gets overdone when we talk about, you know, the love of Christ and so forth, but and talking about emotions. But, you know, understand he had compassion on people. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, when he saw them as sheep without a shepherd, they needed a savior. He had in John chapter 2, you know, he's obviously showing emotions. John chapter 11, he's weeping. I mean, he's capable of all of these emotions. And so you'll see the challenge on your screen is that we look at people like he looked at people. Right? We have that would be Christ-like. We grieve over the things that grieved him. We get excited over the things that excited him. In other words, we become like him. That's how we learn from him. We become like him. In these, we mimic these behaviors. And then the last one, or on that, on the screen that you'll have in front of you, is that we bend our will to be like him. He always did those things which pleased the Father. He was committed to doing the will of the Father. If we're going to be Christ-like, that's what we need to do. And then on this next screen, you'll see that the last one there is we discipline our actions to act like he acted. Recall the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. That's basically his, as I follow Christ, you can follow me. So you could see, though, there's a following of Christ. I mean, there's this mimicking of his actions and mimicking of his behavior. That's what it means to follow Christ. And we see in 1 Peter, probably one of the clearest examples of being Christ-like in our actions and one of the most relevant in applying to our day. Listen to what he says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. What were his steps? Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, whom when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. I suggest to all of us is that in the time of trial, remember I shared with you how I think that's the appropriate to view the COVID-19 pandemic as a trial. It's not persecution, it's a trial. But in time of trial, I need to learn how Christ handled trials and temptations. I could even look at Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4 as well. The beginning parts of those chapters is where Jesus is tempted in the wilderness. And so we say, how did he handle those trials and temptations, those testings? And that becomes our example for what we ought to do. So Jesus says unto me, he says, I want you to learn from me. So as I go to the scriptures, the gospels, the New Testament, I learn about Christ, what he wants me to do, how he wants me to act. I follow him. I mimic him. I display him in my actions, in my thoughts, in my feelings. And I have that about me. I become Christ-like. I work at doing that, of growing in Christ-likeness in my life. The next thing, the next approach really goes like this. We know that God uses trials to produce things in me and to providentially work his plan for mankind. I shared with you a number of issues on our Sunday school hour, videos I produced for you on the sovereignty of God. And recall the short series, God is in control. Well, indeed he is. That's how he providentially works. But he does all of those things. He's in control of all of those matters to produce things in me. At a lesson in this COVID-19 era in which we're in, as a church, I had a lesson on how God uses trials in my life, the potential for what can happen as I go through the trial, as I let it have its perfect result. James chapter 1 and verses 3 through 4, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Consider also on your screen Psalm 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. And God does that kind of work in me. He changes me, transforms me. Psalm 119, verse 71, is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You can hear echoed in that Jesus saying, I want you to learn from me, learn the lessons that I'm trying to teach. Learn what I'm trying to do in your life through trials that he allows or that he even uses to chasten. These are not just hard times. These are opportunities for us to grow and to learn from Christ. A little rather lengthy statement on your screen in front of you. I may not ever know what God is trying to do in my life or all that he's doing with the trial, but I must have the mind that he's doing something. And that something requires me to not simply endure, but to seek and obey him. I must not allow myself to become obsessed or preoccupied with trying to figure out precisely what God is doing, nor stop learning lessons when I think I have figured it out. I should become consumed with obeying him and doing those things I know he wants me to do. In other words, we see that, look at, for example, in Deuteronomy 29, this has come up in other contexts recently. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. There's the idea that I must keep in my thoughts that God has not revealed everything he's trying to do, even in me. But the things he has revealed to me are enough for me to follow him, to obey his commands, to do his law, as it says in the Old Testament Deuteronomy. But what I have to do is I have to realize that God is at work in me. He's producing things in me. And I have to be aware of that, be confident of that. And I can hear in that Jesus saying, I want you to learn from me. So let me give you these illustrations. And I think they enter into my mind. I tried to think of more ways of saying it, but maybe you've said things like this or thought things like this or heard others people say these matters. So, for example, maybe after a time of difficulty or in a Christian's life, a trial, we might say something like this, lesson learned, I won't do that again. Or how about this one, I've learned my lesson. I hope you learn a lesson, a parent might say to a child after seeing them do something foolish. Or I might say it in a different way to someone else. Have you learned nothing from this? If they continue to repeat their behaviors, have you learned nothing from the consequences that have come? Or I might say in a question form, now what lesson have you learned? I don't think Jesus uses that kind of approach to us, but I do think we need to see that in his dealings with us, is that he has lessons for me to learn. And I see this idea that I have this concept that he's teaching me something in the back of my mind. I may not know everything it is, but what I do is I pursue him and my obedience to him, and just trust that he is going to be teaching me a lesson and reveal that in his time, in his way, to my life. But he's going to grow me. He's going to produce fruit in me as I follow him, not as I figure out what it is ahead of time or figure out what he's doing, but as I follow him, he produces this fruit, this fruit in me. So there's some challenges that we have. And you'll see them there. It might be this. What have I learned about Christ during this COVID-19 trial? Right? I think this is our ninth Wednesday night that we're not gathering together. What have you learned about Christ in the midst of this trial? How have you changed? Or what have you altered to become more like Christ during this trial? What spiritual lessons has the Lord taught you? So far, that is, it's not over, but so far, what spiritual lessons has the Lord taught you? Or is he teaching you through this COVID-19 pandemic? When I think of this idea, the last question is an important one to me, because I want us to at least be thinking that What I'm asking you is challenging to do is think, what spiritual lessons has the Lord taught me during this trial? I know he's at work in me. I know he teaches me things through what he's, how he's displayed himself, what he's taught me about himself in the New Testament. So I need to become like him. But he also is working. God is working to produce things in me, to teach me things providentially through the trial. But what I'm concerned about is that we begin to think in spiritual terms. What is he doing spiritually in my life? What is he teaching me spiritually? So you see on the screen that the challenge is to concentrate on spiritual lessons. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. The idea of affection is, it's a word related to my mind, my thinking. Set my thinking on things above. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We have all these commands to think in spiritual ways. And what I share with you, we do live in this world. There are lessons we need to learn about this world and life in it. But I think what we need to do as Christians who have new life in Christ, we have to think spiritually, not just in terms of this world. And so what we find is this, and let me get my list out here. There is, for example, there are things in this world, in this physical life, are not necessarily worldly, but understand they're not the things above. They're things in this present existence, present life. There are things that I may be learning, and I may be learning some things about myself, my personal likes and dislikes, my habits, my routines. It may become very apparent how I'm spending my time. I may be learning some things about myself. I may be learning some things about my family. And, you know, whatever that may be, as children are home and as we've had to readjust schedules, I may be learning things financially. You know, you may say, but I've been learning this about, you know, what I should have been doing or what I ought to be doing. I've been learning that. You might be attuned to things politically. I've been learning this. About the way things work and what's happening all around me. We might be learning medical matters and what, you know, all sorts of information coming our way. Those are things we're learning during this trial. But take all of that and ask yourself, what am I learning spiritually through those things? And, you know, you might say economically, you might say, well, I'm learning, I'm spending too much. But what does that mean spiritually? Might have issues of stewardship, might have issues of covetousness, might have all sorts of spiritual matters that come into play that ought to be fact. But think spiritually when you're thinking and hearing the voice of Jesus saying, I want you to learn from me. So what spiritual lessons has the Lord taught you so far in the COVID-19 pandemic? Throughout the scripture, we clearly see that God uses trials in worldly areas to get my attention so that I will refocus spiritually. And then on the bottom of your screen there, trials in worldly areas reveal or expose my spiritual condition so that I can repent and change. These are important matters. These are, I think, a challenging question for us. to hear the voice of Jesus saying to me, I want you to look at me. I want you to flee to me. I want you to trust me as we look at his word. And I want you to learn from me. You say, how can I learn from him? Well, I learn how he handled trials. And then I learn how he uses them in my life. And then I look at myself and I say, Lord, what are you teaching me? What have I really learned my lesson that you want me to learn? I'm going to close and attach to the end of this teaching video just the song, Search Me, O God. And I just challenge you to just take a few moments and think about what spiritual lessons you have learned so far through this COVID-19 pandemic. Father, indeed, do search us, try us. I pray that this would not just be a time where we are going through a trial, but remind me to let it do its work so that I can become who you want me to be, like your son Jesus, and so that I can learn the lessons that you and your sovereignty are trying to teach me. Lord, help me to hear the voice of your son Jesus as I walk with him, to hear him say to me, I want you to put your mind on me. Look at me. I want you to flee to me. Lord, help me to hear. I want you to trust me. And then teach me to learn the lessons. Help me to hear his voice and follow him. And we pray this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.